You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Tonight we delve into a story that isn't just about ghosts, but about the things we carry with us, the betrayals, the regrets, and the decisions that haunt us long after the final breath has been taken. This is a story of choices, some made out of selfishness, others out of desperation. But when the dead won't stay silent, is it really redemption or revenge? Imagine a father, a gentle soul, struggling through the last months of his life, desperate for peace. But his daughter, the one person he trusted, has other plans. She believed she knew what was best. She thought forcing a reunion with his estranged, abusive mother in his final moments would heal old wounds. She thought wrong. Now, every time she tells her version of the story, her twisted tale of redemption, something strange happens. Lights flicker, doors slam, shadows dance where they shouldn't, as if someone isn't finished with her yet. The question is, when you betray someone with their last breath, are they really gone? Tonight's story isn't just a ghost story, it's a warning. Be careful what you say, and even more careful about who you betray. Because some spirits never rest. Tony, I never thought I'd be the one writing to you about Sarah, but after everything that happened, it feels like there's no one left to tell the story. She always had a way of making sure the people around her fell away one by one. It was like watching a wildfire. People would get too close, and they'd end up burned. Eventually, she burned everything down. Sarah wasn't always like that, at least that's what her parents used to say. I remember them, her mom, Diane, always so kind, and her dad, Henry. That man had a heart of gold. But Sarah ran away from them when she was barely 16. She didn't leave a note, didn't tell anyone where she was going. For 3 long years, they didn't even know if she was dead or alive. Her parents were devastated. I still remember Diane sitting in her car outside my house, sobbing, asking me if I'd heard from her. But Sarah was fine. Well, fine in the way she always was. She'd pop up now and again, acting like nothing happened, only to disappear just as quickly. It was always chaos with her. Every boyfriend ruined, every friendship poisoned, her kids. They couldn't wait to cut her out of their lives. And then Henry got sick. It started slowly, the way these things always do. A little fatigue here, a cough that wouldn't go away. Then came the diagnosis, cancer, stage 4. He didn't have long, but all he wanted was peace, some quiet time to settle his affairs and enjoy what was left without dredging up old wounds. And believe me, Tony, Henry had plenty of wounds. Chief among them, his relationship with his own mother, a woman he hadn't spoken to in years. He told me once over a cup of coffee that the best thing he ever did was cut her out of his life. He said, "Sometimes the only way to survive is to let people go." And he had let her go, Tony. He'd made his peace with that. But Sarah couldn't leave it alone. She saw it as a project, some twisted mission to fix him, even if that wasn't what he wanted. You see, that's the thing with Sarah. She's always been about control. She can't let anything be. And when Henry got sicker, she moved in with him. She made it sound like she was doing it out of love, but it didn't take long for her true colors to show. Arguments with the family over money, screaming fights with her fiancé, who finally had enough and kicked her out. The man couldn't handle her, Tony, and neither could his kids. She was poison to them. So with nowhere else to go, Sarah landed on Henry's doorstep. She moved in like a storm, rearranging furniture, canceling appointments, and making everything about herself. Henry was too weak to fight back. All he wanted was a little peace, but Sarah wanted more. She decided that his peace had to include something else, reconciling with the woman who had hurt him the most, his own mother. Henry was clear from the start. He didn't want her anywhere near him. "I made my peace with it," he told Sarah over and over again. "That's not something you can fix for me." But Sarah wouldn't listen. She kept pushing, saying things like, "You'll regret not saying goodbye, and it's what you need, Dad. You just can't see it yet." Henry would sit there, slumped in his recliner, too tired to argue. I could see the frustration in his eyes, though. He knew he was running out of time, and the last thing he wanted was for his daughter to stir up old pain. But Sarah, she wouldn't stop. It was like she needed this reunion to happen no matter what. Like she couldn't let Henry die on his terms. It had to be on hers. And then Tony. Then came the worst part. It was in the final hours. Henry was barely holding on. We were all in the house, waiting, trying to make him comfortable. Sarah had disappeared for a bit, and we thought maybe, just maybe, she let things go. But when she came back, she wasn't alone. She brought her, Henry's mother, the one person in the world he never wanted to see again. You should have seen Henry's face when he realized what Sarah had done. His eyes, those kind, tired eyes, filled with something worse than anger. It was betrayal, a deep, soul-crushing betrayal. He was too weak to speak by then, too weak to move. All he could do was lie there as his estranged mother, this woman who had hurt him more than anyone, sat down beside him. Sarah smiled like she had just won a prize. She kept whispering things like, "See, Dad? I told you this was the right thing." But Henry didn't smile. He didn't squeeze her hand. He didn't show relief. He just stared at the ceiling, motionless, his breath shallow and labored, trapped with the one person he never wanted to see again. I'll never forget the way he looked at Sarah, like she wasn't his daughter anymore, just another tormentor. And then he was gone. His last breath slipped out in silence in that room with only Sarah and the woman he hated. She sat there afterward, so proud of herself, telling anyone who would listen how she had helped Dad find peace. But I knew the truth. We all did. What she had done wasn't for him. It was for her. She needed to control the ending, to tell the story her way. And that's when the strange things started to happen. At first, it was subtle, a flicker of lights whenever Sarah bragged about reuniting Henry and his mother. A door that slammed shut behind her without warning. It was like the air around her grew heavier every time she told that story, as if something or someone was listening and wasn't pleased. Then things started to escalate. One night, Sarah's told me she nearly drowned in the bathtub. She swore the drain clogged on its own, but the way he told it, it was as if something was keeping the water from flowing, holding her down. Another time, a butcher's knife fell from the kitchen counter, missing her foot by an inch. And once, she found herself locked inside her car, in her garage, with the engine on, unable to open the doors until the engine sputtered off on its own. I think Henry's spirit was still with her, Tony. I think he was angry. Every time Sarah told her twisted version of his final moments, things got worse. Objects would go missing and then reappear in strange places. She'd hear footsteps behind her at night, but no one would be there when she turned around, and the cold. Oh, the cold. It followed her like a shadow, even in the heat of summer. I remember one night she told the story at a family gathering, laughing about how she had done the right thing by forcing Henry to see his mother before he died. As soon as the words left her mouth, the lights went out. The entire house plunged into darkness, and a chill settled over the room that made everyone shiver. When the lights came back on, the glass Sarah had been holding shattered in her hand. It was as if Henry wanted to remind all of us, that he hadn't forgiven her. Sarah's mental state started to unravel. She stopped sleeping, haunted by whispers she swore came from nowhere. "It's him," she'd say, wide-eyed and trembling. "He's still here. He's trying to punish me." But no one believed her, not anymore. She had pushed everyone away, one by one, until there was no one left to listen. And that's when she found the cult. She said they promised her peace, that they could help her find forgiveness. They lived in the middle of the desert, far from the rest of the world, and once Sarah joined them, she was gone. No more phone calls, no more visits, just silence. Tony, I don't think she found peace out there. I think she was running from Henry, from herself, from everything she had done. But here's the thing. Whenever I think about her or talk about what happened, I still feel it. That chill in the air. The weight of a presence I can't see. It's as if Henry's spirit lingers, waiting for the world to know the truth about what Sarah did to him. He warned her, Tony. He told her over and over that he didn't want to see his mother again. But she forced it on him anyway. And in those last helpless moments of his life, she betrayed him in the worst way possible. I think that's why he never left her. Why the hauntings followed her, grew with every lie she told about reuniting him with his mother. And I think that's why he took her in the end. Because Henry knew what the rest of us didn't. Sarah wasn't just selfish, she was dangerous. And maybe, just maybe, he had to stop her before she hurt anyone else. Wherever she is now, out there in the desert with those people. I wonder if she ever looks over her shoulder, waiting to see him again. Because I think, no, I know, Henry's not done with her yet. Betrayal takes many forms, but few cut deeper than when it comes from the ones we trust most. Sarah's story isn't just about a daughter who lost her way. It's about a person consumed by the need to control, to rewrite someone else's story at any cost, even in their dying moments. And that's what makes this tale so haunting. Because sometimes the real ghosts aren't spirits or shadows. They're the consequences of our own actions. Henry made his wishes clear. He had accepted the estrangement, found peace in his choice to leave the past behind. But Sarah wasn't looking for peace. She was looking for power. Power to dictate how her father's life and death should play out. And in doing so, she ensured that his final breath was taken in a place he never wanted to be. Beside the one person he feared most. That's the kind of betrayal that stays with you. Maybe even beyond the grave. There's a psychological angle here, sure. Narcissism, control issues. Sarah might have told herself she was acting out of love. But what kind of love ignores someone's deepest wishes? The line between love and control can be thin. And Sarah crossed it over and over again. But then there's the other angle, the one that leaves us with chills. Could it be that Henry's spirit lingered, not out of anger, but out of necessity? A haunting, not just to punish, but to stop Sarah before she could do more damage? Some betrayals, after all, demand more than silence. They demand justice. What's most unsettling is this: when we force someone into a reconciliation they never wanted, whose peace are we really serving? And when that betrayal is carried to the grave, is it ever truly over? I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to hear more stories like this, subscribe, hit that follow button, and join me again for another chilling dive into the unknown.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.